Lord, would you speak to us through these words now, I ask, in your name.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. An elderly lady was really having some difficulties in her life. She was going to have to sell her house and have to move into a retirement home, and she really couldn't understand what was going on. Her son tried to explain to her what was happening, but she really couldn't grasp it. She was filled with all sorts of worry, fear, and anxiety, and she was just constantly full of these things. And so her son tried to help her and tried to assure her. He said, "Mom, everything's going to work out okay. All you need to do is pray about this and leave it up to God." And she kind of groaned and said, "Oh no, has it come to that?" You know, sometimes we get to that place in our life where we tried everything else, now we're going to try God, I guess you might say. And certainly, as we approach Christmas, people are finding this time to be a really stressful time. Many people are, anyway. And experts say that Christmas is really one of the most stressful times of the year. I mean, we have parties to go to, we have shopping to do, stores are more crowded than they normally are, and certainly there are relative issues with which some of us have to deal, and certainly financial pressures on people, and all these things can combine to cause a lot of stress, worry, and anxiety in our lives. And certainly on top of that, Christmas itself brings with it kind of some challenges as well, and obviously Christmas time is not necessarily an easy time for everyone. Some people perhaps have lost a spouse by death or by divorce this past year, and so they're finding this time a very difficult time. Others may continue to be dealing with the loss of a loved one and really are finding this time to be a rather blue time in their life. And so Christmas is not always an easy time with which people can, with which people deal in their lives, and certainly others find that this time of the year carries with it such high expectations that they really can never live up to those expectations. And when those expectations are not fulfilled, people can feel let down. So there are all sorts of issues that can happen around this time of year that can cause stress in our lives. And I'd really like to look at what Paul said today, maybe giving us a remedy of how we can deal with some of the stress in our lives. And that might be especially helpful at this time of the year. Certainly, counselors say that we really need to just kind of learn to cope with stress. But I think we need to not just cope with it. I want to eliminate it in my life. You know, some say we just have to try to learn how to live with stress in our lives. But I want to kind of eliminate it. I want to get rid of it in my life. And I think that perhaps Paul can give us some insights in how that can be accomplished. So I'd like us to look at our second lesson today from the book of Philippians, chapter 4. If you wouldn't mind turning there in the scriptures, page 1827 in the Pew Bibles, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. And Paul begins by saying words that we heard just a few moments earlier that are kind of jolting, if you will, during maybe this time of year. Although we hear all sorts of songs encouraging us to be happy and to rejoice and that sort of thing. Paul says this in verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice." Now, that word rejoice means to take joy in someone or in something. And so Paul is urging us to take joy in Jesus Christ, to find our ultimate joy and happiness in Him. And certainly joy, rejoicing in the Lord, taking joy in the Lord, really has in mind reminding ourselves who Jesus is and what He has done for us. And as we remember those things, then that can cause joy to rise in our hearts and cause us to rejoice in the Lord always. So He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." Paul says in verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything." Now, obviously, we all know that we're not to be anxious. We're not to be worried about everything. And certainly, it's almost as futile to say, don't worry about something, as it is to worry about something. And so, Paul is not just saying here, don't worry about something. Don't worry about anything. But he's going to give us some ideas of how we can overcome that worrying. He says, first of all, that we have to make everything a matter of prayer. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And when I'm reading through the writings of Paul, I'm amazed at how often he talks about prayer. Prayer is something that he mentions throughout his writings, and it's something that he encourages Christians to do constantly. Pray without ceasing, he says in one of his letters. And yet I think about myself and how little I pray in comparison with the numbers of times that Paul encourages Christians to pray. So it's important for us to pray constantly about things. And certainly Paul says to pray about everything. We have a tendency to want to handle the little things ourselves and really just leave the big things up to God. But that really is a faulty way of thinking, because to God, everything is a small thing. And so we don't need to leave the big things up to God and try to handle the small things ourselves. We're to submit everything to God in terms of prayer. And secondly, when we commit these things to prayer, really we're asking Him to help us not just with the big things, but with the day-to-day problems that we face in our lives. And as we begin to trust Him to handle those things, then we're better able to trust Him to handle the bigger things in our lives. The little problems that we face are things that with which we're dealing all the time, but as we learn to trust God for those things, we can certainly find that we can trust Him more effectively in the more difficult things. I like what the Apostle Peter said in one of his epistles when he said, "Cast all of your anxieties upon Jesus, for He cares for you." So when we recognize that God cares for us, we can cast all of our cares upon Him. But Paul takes it a step further in his epistle today. He said, present your requests to God. That means that in any problem, any situation we face, we are given the urging to present our requests to God. This really isn't an urging, it's really a command. He said to present your requests to God. And it's something that we are given the privilege to be able to do. That we have the ability to bring our requests before God. That we have a high priest, as I said at the beginning of the service, who has made it possible for us to bring our requests before the throne of God. And certainly, you might ask the question, what happens if that request is not according to the will of God? Well, the answer is, if it's not according to the will of God, we're not going to receive the answer to that request. But that shouldn't dissuade us from asking for that which we think that we need. Because as we do so, then we open the door for God to then answer that request as maybe best for us and those for whom we pray. And so when we ask God for those things in our lives, it's important for us to ask God for the help that we need in the big things and in the little things. I'm wondering if you might think of something that's the most challenging thing for you, the thing with which you need the most help. Have you asked God for help in that area? Maybe you may have just shot up a prayer and said, "Oh God, help." But have you been specific in asking for what you really need God to do for you in that particular situation? Have you asked God's help in the smallest things in your life? You might start out by trying to ask God for help in those little things in life and maybe progress from there up to the bigger things with which you need His help. It's okay to pray for parking spaces and for office conflicts and for financial problems and for rebellious children. And for healing for cancer. If it concerns you, it concerns God. Bring your requests to Him. So the first step of getting rid of stress in our lives is really to bring our requests to God. Make everything a matter of prayer, Paul says. Second thing is to point your thoughts in the right direction. In the book of Philippians, Paul says, whatever things are true, are lovely, are good report, good things to think about. Think about the good things that we're called to think about, not just thinking about the negative things and the bad things. Emerson said this, "You become what you think about all day long." In the Bible, King Solomon says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." So many people's problems are a result of thinking patterns that naturally produce the things that the problems that they experience in their lives. What do you think about all day long? What do you think about when you first get up in the morning? Do your thoughts immediately go to all of your problems, all the things that you have to do when you get up? Or do you think about things in a little different sort of way? The way you think about things when you first get up can really determine how you think about things throughout the rest of the day. The Keslov, which is a daily prayer book used in Russian Orthodox monastic communities, gives the following instructions on beginning each day. It says, upon rising, pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Then stand for a few moments of silence until you have achieved interior calm and you are recollected. Then with three reverences, begin your prayers. Norman Vincent Peale said that he used to begin his day by saying, I believe, I believe, I believe. And that's a good question to, a good statement to begin with, but the question you need to ask is, what do you believe? What do you believe? Do you state what you believe at the beginning of your day? Sometimes many people's lives are governed by their feelings instead of what they believe. People allow feelings rather than their beliefs to dictate the direction of their thoughts. How much more effective would it be if you began every day thinking through your personal statement of faith? Let your beliefs control the way that you think. You can begin each day by saying, for example, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you, Lord, that I am above ground, that my heart is still beating. I've got many things to look forward to today. Today I'm going to work on some of my problems. Today I'm going to trust God that He's going to be with me every step of the way. Today God will cause all things to work together for good. Today God will give me the opportunity to serve Him in some capacity. Today God will encourage me to encourage my family and friends. Today I will show God's love to everyone that I meet. Can you begin to see how empowering a prayer like that can be for us? Certainly, as we begin each day in that sort of way, then that can squeeze out many of the worries and stresses and anxieties that tend to come our way. When we look at the things that trouble us, using some of the suggestions that Paul gives us today, then that leads us ultimately to what he says in verse 7, when he says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, I found that when I pray about something and I really commit it to God and I trust Him for that, something amazing begins to happen. I begin to experience a peace that comes over me. Now, a lot of times I have to do that over and over again until I finally experience that peace, because I find that even when I try to give something to God, I don't really give it to Him. I kind of think I'm giving it to Him, but I really don't. And then I kind of take it back and try to handle it myself again until I realize that I need to turn it back over to God, and I do that. And when I finally get to that place of actually trusting Him for that, then a peace does come over me, and I wonder, how did that come about? How did I get that peace? I don't understand where that came from. Well, that's what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about that peace that transcends all understanding. And that can only happen when we get to that place of praying about everything and then trusting God for the results of our prayer. During this Advent and Christmas season, I would encourage each one of us to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts richly by focusing upon Jesus, by praying about everything that concerns us, and by thinking about things that are going to direct us in the way of faith rather than in the way of fear, worry, and anxiety. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this message of Paul today. And Lord, would you help us throughout this coming week to deal with the stresses that might come our way by not only keeping our eyes fixed upon Jesus, but more especially by lifting up all of our concerns to Him in prayer, by beginning to redirect our thinking in the right ways that would cause fear, worry, and anxiety and stress just to flee away. And then, Lord, would you cause that peace that passes all understanding to take up residence in our hearts and in our minds, so that we might walk in that peace that you desire us to have each day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.